Good afternoon. This is the regular meeting for May 9th, 2013 of the Civil Service Commission. In attendance are myself, Robert Killian, and Commissioners William Foster and Linda McMacken. Also in attendance are Secretary Chief Examiner Kate Brown, Public Safety Manager Larry Dickerson, and attending for the public is Kim Henderson. Item number two, disclosures of conflicts of interest and important in-between meeting communication. I have one disclosure, not necessarily conflict of interest, to be discussed regarding item number 6D, request for reinstatement. Kate brought to my attention that this lateral candidate that is asking for reinstatement, I actually interviewed him about 3 years ago before I was a member of the Civil Service Commission when I was a civilian, being one of the interview panels. He was one of the candidates that we interviewed. Kate tried to refresh my memory, but I honestly cannot remember the guy. And I have no personal contact or knowledge of him other than that 30 or 45 minute interview, but he is asking for reinstatement. I just want to make the disclosure that I was one of the interview panel members for that candidate. And other between meeting communications, Kate and I discussed various different agenda setting items and information, and then Kim Henderson and I spoke and emailed over the month regarding various different items to do with testing and eligibility, recruiting, and the vacancy appointment for the vacant commissioner. And then I attended with Larry one of the town hall meetings since then. That's all I have.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to disclose.
I have no conflicts or anything to disclose, but I was involved with the emails with the few of with Kim and exchanged with Kim maybe separately regarding the proposed change in our code regarding the appointment council commissioners, and express kind of my take on that. Other than that, that's it.
Okay. Item number three, approval of April 11th minutes. Those were circulated, and I had a chance to review them, and I didn't have any comments on those April 11th minutes. Anybody else?
No, I don't have any changes or additions.
Looks good to me.
Okay. So as they stand, they have a motion for approval of those April 11th minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously to approve those April 11th.
I apologize for the delay in sending those out, everybody. Not usually that late. Real quick, do you want to just confirm on the record that Commissioner Weiland is not in attendance?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Bruce Weiland is absent, but we still maintain a quorum with the three of us. He is on vacation and is an excused absent. Thanks for that reminder.
Yep.
Kim Henderson, would you like to make a public comment?
I have two quick general comments and then some specific comments I'd like to make about agenda item 7. With the chair's permission, I'd like to use public comment to make my two general comments and save specific comments about the appointment process to that part of the agenda.
Certainly. No, that's fine. I have no objection to that. Anybody else?
No. Great.
All right. So two general comments just to bring to the commission and secretary's attention. There are not minutes posted for January 10th online, and there's no audio or minutes posted for February 14th online. I don't know how many people in the community look at the Civil Service Commission website for minutes, but I do.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. If you ever notice, feel free to let me know. That's great. I believe the audio did not record on the 14th.
Oh.
That's the reason why, but I'll definitely get those minutes up.
Much appreciated. And then when I was on the website, I was looking at the purpose statement for the Civil Service Commission, which I don't think has changed in many years, if has ever changed at all. So, because we're approaching a moment in this island's history where a lot of attention is being paid on the police department and positive changes to the police department, I think this might be an interesting opportunity to actually revisit that purpose and think about adding to it, changing it, or at least having a public discussion about what the mission and the purpose of the Civil Service Commission is. And in my attempt to kickstart this conversation, not today, but at least at a different meeting, I just would like to pass out what the current purpose is that's listed on the website and a couple of additions that you might consider.
Great.
When you get around to it,
thank you.
Let me just say very briefly, I'm sure we've all been on boards where mission statements and purpose statements have been a rather tedious and empty exercise, but again, in the context of all the attention to the police department, in the context of everybody's interest in reform, from the chief of police on down, I think this might be a really interesting time to really think about what the objectives are of this commission. So I thank you all for your consideration.
May I make a comment, Rob?
Sure.
Okay. The timing on this is great because actually just yesterday I was reading this. Next week the council is going to receive information on a few of the committees and commissions, the ones that need members. And they're going to be reviewing the purpose and the scope statements for a number, including the Civil Service Commission. So that was sent to me for my review. And the part that's not on here is the part that's above there where, I don't know if you read it, but it really doesn't make sense. It's a very weird sentence, and let's see, I might be able to pull it up, but it did not make any sense to me what it was trying to say. So I made some slight edits to that sentence, and this is all going to be, you know, reviewed by the council for them to decide if they have changes or suggestions. So I'll be happy to pass this on to the city clerk, and she can forward it to the council, or you could do that yourself. But I mean, I just wanted you to know the context that that's actually part of a bigger review that you're going to be doing.
And the thrust of my suggested changes, these are things you're already doing, but the language as it currently exists, it's very much about hitting a minimum, following the law, getting a list assembled. The two changes I'm proposing are more aspirational. We're actually looking for outstanding candidates. We're actually looking to be seen as a fair and impartial forum. And, I think that you're already moving in that direction. To codify it might have the nice side effect of letting the public in on what's already happening in this commission.
Great. Thank you for your comment. And we'll be happy to receive additional comments as the specific items later come up.
Thank you. Yeah.
Larry?
Yeah, just, I don't really have a lot. We did do a mini town hall at the Bainbridge Islands High School Wednesday, and this came up at our round table. Maybe it's something we want to look at, so we were able to get the school. The school was able to get us in as a panel. I had two uniformed officers, a detective, a lieutenant, and myself, and we were actually in one of the classrooms with a leadership group, and it's pretty interesting. Things that were discussed were underage drinking, which I knew would come up, and then also, you know, they wanted to know what type of drugs do we see more on the island. You know, that type of stuff, and then the kids were interested in some of the junior police programs and stuff like that are available. We don't have an explorer post, but we're looking at doing that, or, you know, maybe down the road, you know, it's a great program. I love the explorer post because, you know, in the summertime when you have tourists coming on the island, you can have, they can man booths and do things like that. And just a lot of things that they can do. Parades they can help us with. Traffic control and stuff, and training and that type of thing. They were interested in the ride-along program. You know, they want to know why each one of us wanted to do this line of work. It was pretty interesting to hear everybody's version. And then I gave them, it's not a survey, but I gave them kind of a question and answer form at the end just to hear what their thoughts were, and they don't sign it or anything, no names. That, but then at the end, you want to do this again. The goal is for Scott Weiss, who's going to take over the program, to set it up and start it again, maybe in the leadership class next year, and then we're going to try to move it throughout the school if we can. We did also go down and eat with the kids that was interesting. Mm-hmm. It was different. it was okay. But I thought it went pretty good. We're interested to see what these forms are, and they'll have those back in a couple of days, probably.
Can I get a follow-up on that? You referred to the leadership group. Is that like the school-elected students?
It's the leadership. It's the way I understand it. Maybe somebody else.
Okay.
The leadership type class.
Okay.
And it's made up of juniors, seniors, and I think sophomores. probably, there were probably 30 plus kids there. I didn't count them.
Yeah,
at first, you know, it's like all kids, they don't jump in there and, you know, you got to work, work your way in. But, you know, it's a start, you know. I know that that was one of the issues that, that has come up numerous times, the police department's lack of involvement in school. We don't have a school resource program. It would be nice if we did, maybe someday we will. But that's just a start, and you know, the officers went down and spent time with the kids in the lunchroom and stuff like that, and they were seen around, so maybe it'll work into something.
It's a nice outreach. I think that's a really important thing to do.
And then, other than
quick,
that, I brought...
Quick follow-up question on the high school. Was, his name, Mike Krasinski, he's the security officer at the Bainbridge Island High School. Was he in attendance? Was he part of the forum?
He was there, not in the class, but we ran into him, actually, because we went down to the lunchroom. We had the, I think one of the vice principals, plus the teacher who was in attendance there.
You know, I know I've had a couple conversations with Mr. Krasinski, and he's a prior law enforcement, and he used to be a school resource officer as well before making this job, so I think he'd be a good resource to utilize as we kind of bridge those gaps as well, because he's got, from my impression, a pretty good rapport built up with the students there as well.
Good. And then I just brought this, you know, I mean, it's a copy of the webpage, this, the stats.
Have you seen the statistics that are on the website?
Kind of gives you, and you got to understand, we're in what? We're in May, and it's just March. Mm-hmm. Everything has to get entered, and it takes time, and then, you know, like a month between. But we should be putting April on there really soon. And then another thing that and I talked to Kate about is the police department's looking at maybe doing an adopt a street type thing this summer and do a little. It's a good way to get out as a group and exercise. And
you mean like the neighborhood?
Yeah, just you just go around. You pick a street in the city that needs cleaned, and the police department maintains it. We clean it, pick up the trash, and maybe even involve some of the students at the high school too. You know, so.
As part of their community service hours accumulation.
Yeah. And then and that's just something that we're just talking about. We're not actually doing it right now. And then, you know, as far as any major crimes, you know, we had the bomb cleaned out at the post office. You probably all heard about that. We had the bomb team squad here, and it turned out to be nothing, but, you know, with the words Boston, you know, pray for Boston written on the box, people got a little leery, and I can understand why. And
did someone come claim it? And they were about to mail it off.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, it was like t-shirts
it
or something.
It was coming, yeah. It was empty. It had been opened. And it was
but, you know, when people see the bomb truck in downtown.
It was a real scary, big to-do.
And then we passed around this.
Yeah, this is... I give this to the city manager every month, and it's just kind of an overview, a quick shot of some of the things that we do during the month.
You're doing a really good job, Larry, with some of this procedural things kind of falling into place. It's going to make it a lot easier for the new chief to continue with the outreach. We sure appreciate it.
Well, the officers, you know, I give credit to the men and women of the department, because they're the ones that actually do the work. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, and some of the projects we have going, everyone, you know, we have Chris Jensen, we have Scott Weiss, and we have Victor, and we have Amy, and we have all these people volunteering to do things, and we were talking about, you know, adopt a street, clean a street, or something like that. Yeah, people saying that's great, you know, we'll do it, you know. But they're the ones that do it, you know, so, you know, they, and we give credit for good work, too.
And there's a lot of help if you want volunteers for something like that. One of the wonderful resources that this island has is a big tent group called Island Moms.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
And with the Adopt-A-Street, if you want to kind of get something like that moving forward, you've got, I think there's 2,200 people that are on that list. And, you know, for... You can can always get volunteers for a short-term thing. It's hard to get them for a longer, but, you know, if it's this Saturday we're going to do Phelps, you know, you would be surprised at the turnout.
If you get people, you get a group down there like that, you'd be surprised what they could do in one day.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to give you my address and say it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll wait to hear from Kate.
I had just a couple follow-up questions regarding, and I know we're in a transition period with Matt coming on as the new chief next month, and some of these questions may be deferred to who he is, but I know that our calls for service, just because of the population grows over the summertime, that you have a lot more tourists, you have a lot more activity on the summertime, so do you foresee impact on the department's ability to function or address all those needs over the summertime with the one current shortage that we may not fill for several months, if we're delaying that, filling that one vacancy until a new chief comes aboard, until we even start backgrounds and start interviews until the late part of the summer, that one vacancy, is that going to leave you short, or are we going to have to lean on the county for backfill, or are we going to look at utilizing reserves or any temporary appointments to fulfill those staffing needs over the summertime?
No, actually, we're pretty much up to the numbers right now where they may be going there, making a request to go back to the 10-hour shifts. The reason we went to the 8 was because we were short. Calls for service, you know, you just never know. I can't, you know, during the summer months you have vacations. There's going to be short days, I know that. We may have to pay overtime out, but I don't see the department hiring. It's really not up to me to say that at this time because I don't know what's going to happen in July and August. New chief might say, well, we need another body. Well, he's going to have a position to hire to add to that. Mm-hmm. The current position that we haven't filled is basically leaving that for him to make the decision on.
And when is Matt's start date? Is it June?
The 10th of June. Mm-hmm. 10th of June. And I think we need to be a little more proactive because we have a lot of foot traffic. We have a lot of people coming across on the ferries to shop and eat, do things like that. We're always dealing with the 305 out here, and if we have an accident on the bridge, everybody knows what happens there. I found that out right after I got here. But you don't go anywhere. But we're revitalizing our bicycle patrol. We're going to try to get some bicycles out there, you know. That's one of the things. I'm on the officers and the lieutenants all the time. Get out of the car, walk downtown, and they're always going, I get the same old story, you know, that, well, you know, if we get out of the car, then we got to go back to the car. And sometimes, you know, that's true, but if you park your car in a strategic area, you can still go into the business and stuff like that. And they do that. Don't get me wrong. But visibility is also a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you park a marked police car downtown, even if we just take one down there and park it,
mm-hmm.
of course, retail people might get mad at us for taking a parking space. But, you know, it's a deterrent. And I don't know, you guys have lived here longer than I have, but it seemed to me last summer a lot of the people kind of were in this area. You know, they bought in these shops.
Along the waterfront area.
Well, and one of the things, too, is we have two restaurants that have regional and even national attention to them now.
Oh, yeah.
And so they are destination restaurants. And I don't know what impact that's going to have. But
destination ice cream.
Well, that's true. I mean,
and a brewery.
Yeah.
And a Lebanon winery. Yeah, there's a lot to attract over there. I just wanted just some clarity mm-hmm. that even with Matt not coming aboard, you don't foresee the need to do any temporary provisional appointments over the immediate summertime to do any staffing. Okay, good. All right.
Sorry.
Okay.
I have two questions.
Do you have any officers out on injury or sick leave right now that you're having to backfill? Or? Okay. Super.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got to correct that. I have an officer's husband.
That's right. I remember you mentioning that last time.
Yeah, she's back now. The chief's been down. They're gone. And that's, taking care of her husband. So that's been, but she's back
the final version of the police officer job description for your review. Just to reiterate how we got to this point, we distributed a position information questionnaire to all of the incumbents, which were completed, and then they were forwarded to their supervisors. The supervisors reviewed them, wrote comments if they wanted to, and then they were passed on to me. I took a look at those. I took a look at job descriptions from other cities, and I recommended some changes to our previous job description. I forwarded that marked up version to Larry. He reviewed it. The lieutenants reviewed it in their capacity as lieutenants, but also as a couple of them at least, in their capacity as guild representatives. I also worked with another guild representative on some comments and suggestions, so incorporated changes from them, and that's how we got to this point.
How different is this from what it...
Yeah, I apologize. I probably should have brought the previous version. It's,
Is this more detailed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not significant? It's just more fleshed out?
I don't want to generalize too much. I can certainly,
Because I do better if I can compare.
Yeah, compare and contrast, yeah.
You can circulate the prior version and the marked up version with the red outline.
Yes. I will do that. So, this is just for your information, so you can see that we're at this point. So, we can use this now to move on to the next step.
I had just a couple questions.
Yes.
It just kind of stuck out to me, and based on my background, under qualification, skills, and ability. Second sentence starts with graduation from high school or equivalent associate's degree preferred and 2 years experience. So forth. Associate degree preferred. How do we prefer that in the hiring process? I think it's great. I would like to see everybody have a bachelor's or a degree on the department. If we say associate's preferred, how in the hiring process can we prefer that? Because I thought only veterans points could have preferential treatment applied to them. How does that work?
I think it's at the point when it comes down to the chief. That's my understanding, because the chief has, you know, the rule of three. Mm-hmm. So he could have three people that he's looking at, and he could say, oh, this person has a degree, so that's good. But that's my understanding, is that it wouldn't be any point before then. There's no...
From a civil service standpoint, all the scoring points aren't going to change.
No.
It'll just be veterans preference points plus oral and written.
Yeah.
And then at that point, when you have three viable candidates that you... that in, that's when you can apply that preference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, for the first, maybe for the first or first person you select to do the background on and stuff like that. But it's not uncommon in these to have, you know, preferred, you know, we prefer the FBI Academy, you know, and stuff like that.
May I interject with a question?
Let me follow up with one question, and then certainly, is there... curious what the other commissioners' feelings are, and we can wait for Matt's interpretation. Would we want to, at any point, put that as a requirement of an applicant, that we say it's not only just preferred, you can't even apply here if you don't have an associate's degree? Is that legally available to us? Can we do that as a requirement of employment? Just as you're 21 years old and all these other things, can
those
we put
are
that
state
as a requirement?
Law, yeah. I don't know. I can certainly find out. I think we don't do that in other hiring because we use the word preferred in general because there's always the chance that you could exclude somebody who in all other, you know, factors is excellent but just doesn't happen to have a degree or is 1 year short of the experience. But I can certainly find out about
I'm
that.
I'm just curious kind of the legal defensibility. If we can make that a requirement or if there's some kind of scale that, yes, we would like to have an associate's or bachelor's or equivalent military experience or equivalent experience in life and other professional outlets or careers.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
I think that makes sense. You know, one of the things about Bainbridge is that we're an educated community, and anybody that does law enforcement or any type of any type of service here, whether it's in the private sector or the public sector, you have to have a good vocabulary, you have to present well. That's easier to do if you're educated. Because if you're trying to work with the public, you know, like I do, and make money, you've got to be able to articulate. And if you're a police officer and you don't use good grammar, you're not going to be as effective as we need you to be. One of the things I also, in looking at this, the ability to deal with difficult situations requires people to be kind of calm and centered. And I know it's kind of a difficult thing to quantify, but I'd like to see something here that at least touches on that, because a calm person is able to diffuse a situation better than a person that's prone to be more defensive or more agitated. And so, you know, that's just one of the things with the crisis intervention that we're all kind of thinking about, that I'd like to have here some, and I don't know how to have it there.
Well, do you want to try to maybe send me, you can send me, I mean, something. The only thing I will say, the top bullet on page 3, not quite as far as you're saying, but ability to act assertively and respond to situations firmly, courteously, tactfully. That's not quite what you're saying, but that's somewhat close.
And the third to last also.
Mm-hmm.
You could add something there.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise sound judgment under stress.
Mm-hmm.
Crisis.
There's a communication bullet about a third of the way down. Communicate effectively with your coworkers, superiors, and the general public, both orally and in writing, including individuals with physical or emotional distress.
I can put those next to each other.
So, Rob, if I could just ask a quick question.
Yes.
Is it your understanding that the Veterans Points system is a floor or a ceiling? And what I mean by that is, can you add other points in other areas, or is that the only place that you're legally able to add points?
And I think that's a question I'd like Sophia to address, because I know this came up last year when we talked about this, that I thought there was an RCW that said the only additional points that you can consider were veterans.
And I'm remembering that the same way.
But if there's some other case law out there or other ways that we can do that, because there is a variety of factors I would also like to somehow being able to assess and give preference to a crisis intervention background, giving preference to or a scoring point towards having a certain degree level. I think those could all be built into that, but I think we have to tread on what is legally, what we can legally do.
Mm-hmm. I will certainly ask about that.
So, well, let me respond to your question, specific question you had about should we, you've got a legal question, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think I can answer it right now, whether could we legally require an undergraduate degree, not just prefer it, but actually require it as a minimum requirement. I don't know what the answer to that is legally. My inclination is, why not? I think
it's not discriminatory.
Right. So then the next, before I would say, okay, we can legally do it, I would ask, well, what percent of our current officers do have that? I mean, because
well, that's a good question.
And applicants.
And applicants. Mm-hmm. And so how much are we shooting ourselves in the foot when we do that? How mm-hmm. Maybe not at all. I mean,
that
maybe,
I can tell you. I will get that for you.
Yeah, maybe 80 or 90% of the
may
pool.
Not even be an issue.
It may not be an issue. Maybe quite everyone's in, you know, mm-hmm. almost everybody. And then you can kind of have a question about or discuss. You could take a kid, bright kid, graduate from high school, several years, lived a life, maybe went to college for a little while, didn't get his final degree, but is as eloquent
mm-hmm.
as the other candidate, you know, who's got a master's in something.
Yeah.
And so then you're going, well, you know, so you might want to not limit yourself so that you can make these judgments independently.
and I definitely don't want to exclude any very good and viable candidates.
Right.
And I think it also leads me to my next question. Is there any way to objectively assess a candidate's ability to respond in stressful situations? Mm-hmm. How can we objectively assess six candidates that come before us in a scenario that only lasts 45 minutes, that you can somehow judge that? That's either out of the written test that PST provides or our oral board interviews, or are you putting a lot of eggs in one basket that, like, oh, if he or she has this many years of experience in the real world and the candidate's been working in these types of fields, how can we identify those and objectively apply any kind of scoring matrix to be able to assess those objectively and equitably among candidates?
That's one of the things that is judged at the academy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
it's got to be part of the training.
All of the practical scenarios are all of that.
And,
yeah.
You know, that would be very difficult. You know.
6 months of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to track it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other side of this, that we're the gatekeepers to get the candidate to the academy where they could be fully vetted. More fully vetted in those individual types of scenarios. Mm-hmm. Right.
Would the commission consider having HR professionals come in to answer how these questions might apply to process in the private sector? Would you like to have someone with experience in this sort of assessment that doesn't have the advantage of, 8 months of experience in the academy? Would you like to have visitors to ask these questions?
We welcome, I for one welcome anybody to attend meetings and share information.
Well, I don't, it feels to me that selecting a police officer is a pretty different scenario than hiring somebody to work in an office. And so just because somebody has experience in human resources, I wouldn't think that they would be able necessarily to address what we're talking about.
So let me broaden my question. Would this commission be interested in bringing somebody in to speak that has more direct experience in candidate analysis within a law enforcement context? But what the CFC has done for years is kept it all inside, and I'm seeing what receptivity you all have to having outsiders to come into.
We always will.
Yes.
We always do.
Yeah.
And I think we did some of that last year with Rich Mancuso and the commander, the captain from L.A. County,
mm-hmm.
we engaged in and we debriefed, I think, a good bit and worked with him afterwards to try to include that. And I would like to continue that.
And some of that might be more appropriate for committee work
yeah.
rather than commission work. But no, we...
Yeah, that process with Mancuso, that's going to continue, right?
Yes. Yes.
That was wonderfully useful.
Yeah, I think he's got a good background.
Mm-hmm.
Great to take advantage of.
And the only other thing that occurred to me as I read through that, and I think it's addressed at the end regarding, and again, this bumps up between the American with Disabilities Act requirements and then what may be under collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If we put in our requirements in the job description, the ability to remain fit for duty.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an ambiguous statement.
Right.
And what does that mean and how is that defined and how can it be enforced if an appeal comes before the Civil Service Commission
mm-hmm.
that, hey, they laid me off, they took me days off because I'm 20 pounds overweight or I didn't run the mile in 9 minutes. How can we, that seems ambiguous and what are we bumping up against the requirements
mm-hmm.
for ADA and what's inside the collective bargaining agreement?
Well, all I can really say about that particular item is that I noticed some similar language in another city's job description, and I asked the attorney about that. You know, I can't remember what the language was, and that her suggestion was to prepare it like this, to have it say just this. So
look
that
at bullet points that reads remain fit for duty.
Right.
Was that in the original one?
No.
That in the prior one?
I don't believe it was, no.
But this has been reviewed and commented on by everyone, including guild members?
Mm-hmm. So I agree with you that it is vague, but I think that the intention is that that determination is made by the chief and or a medical provider.
Right. And I'm just wondering if that, if those kind of definite, there almost seems to be a definition sheet of who determines that fitness review. Mm-hmm. Because I agree, because I don't want to see yourself or a future chief trying to decide whether or not to discipline an officer because their definition of what is fit for duty, either emotionally or physically, is different than that officer. And how can, you know, how can you counsel or enforce that with those vagaries?
A lot of departments have fitness programs, and they actually provide time. I think, don't we do that here a little bit?
I think so, and some even have
time,
an incentive.
You pay it for your mm-hmm. officers to stay in shape. I've never really known, or I can recall any officer in all the years that I've worked with that ever discipline for a fitness issue. I think the whole process is the city will have something in place that they're doing, and they'll put it in the job description. You know, we expect you to stay. You're able to not jump out of the car and run and fall down, and you know, you can run 10 feet or whatever. I mean, fitness is just a thing in law enforcement, and it starts in the academy. They have to go through a fitness test to even get accepted, so it's not anything new. I
absolutely agree that it should be in there. I'm just wondering if it needs to be fleshed out in, so it is
defined.
Enforceable,
mm-hmm.
yeah, as well.
I think that in my experience and understanding, a determination like that is always made by a professional, a third party, and so you would request that evaluation by somebody else, and then that information has come back, and that's how they base that decision. So it's not just you don't look like you can, you know. But I appreciate what you're saying, and I'll be happy to follow up with her on that.
Is there something currently in either the city code or your SOP manual that you can request a medical or mental physical medical or mental evaluation of an officer?
You're talking about like the fit for duty.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is.
We can require that, but
only at the beginning at hiring or at any time.
No,
mm-hmm.
any time.
Mm-hmm.
There's indicators that determine there's a need for that. You can't just do it.
Okay.
But I'll find out where that is, because that's a good question. Is that in the zone?
It should be.
Yeah, I'll look.
Any other comments?
I'm just thinking that it's a really interesting balance, isn't it, between being able to harass somebody and yet maintain fitness. Well, you don't look like you slept well last night. I'm going to see if you're fit for duty. But it's, I think it's good that we're talking about it. It's
you could also give them a math test. I mean, it says here perform basic
arithmetic
calculations.
Which is different than math, of course.
But it also should say in that running, walking, and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's in here, yeah.
Under licensing and certification, kind of the last four bullet items.
Mm-hmm.
Driver's license, of course, first aid card, breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in RCW or requirements? Maybe it's at the time they graduated the academy, a certain level that we need to identify in our job description, healthcare provider level, first aid card, or is it does AED have to be required? What are the requirements of officers, and does that need to be mentioned in the job description?
You know, I think just those basic things that we're talking about, certifications, the big things that they graduate.
But I actually just had this conversation with Lieutenant Guintoli the other day because we were discussing. Some cities say the last three should be within 6 months of hire, but we felt like that isn't always possible. My question to her was, how much of this is done at the academy for the entry level? She said, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. It depends on mm-hmm. the scheduling. So it may not be feasible. Obviously, it's in the city's best interest to get these people certified in these areas as soon as possible, but it's not always feasible. So that's where we ended up with the 12 months. The driver's license is state law, but... But the other ones, if somebody is the lateral, then from in-state, then chances are they have those. If they're from out-of-state, they'll probably need to get them. But 12 months, we felt was reasonable.
There's requirements for the out-of-state folks to go through the, you know, academy. Most of this stuff, a lot of it they get while they're going through the FTO program here at the department.
Mm-hmm.
We schedule the training, you know, including CIT training, too, for the new officers, even though now they're getting them at the academy. But there's a lot of things just during that period of time that they're in an FTO training program, they're going to get all this stuff they're going to get.
I guess my question is, I'm fine with the time. I'm more interested in the level of certification. Does first aid card mean a 4-hour course at the fire station, or is it a 40-hour course on major trauma, and it's like a mini medic course? And breathalyzer certification, that's got to be specific to a type of machine or a type of unit that you're using, and the radar is specific to the type of unit that you're using. So I'm just wondering if that needs to be specifically mentioned as a requirement, because I like all this. I constantly get back to the defensibility and the appealability of it later if it's not specifically mentioned. Your breathalyzer is one thing, and it's one thing only. It's not going to change. And it's the training run by the state patrol, and you have to. So. And does that breathalyzer cover the standardized field sobriety test as well? It covers both.
And there's, I'm trying to think of the name, but there's special training for detection. You know, it's by FBI. I've been out on the road lately, but there's several. The breathalyzer is a separate. I think that's like 2 days, a 2-day training class, and there's another one that's a week, and it gauge stagness is testing.
It's all part of that. I'm just wondering. Maybe we can the training lieutenant.
Yes,
Jensen. Either between him and maybe CJTC, if we could just get exactly what the requirements are. And if there are some supplements to this, great. If we want them to all have a standardized field sobriety test in addition to the breathalyzer, if we want to have a certain level of first aid card, then we can put it in here and we can work on new candidates being able to reach those.
They have to have all that stuff or they can't perform the tests. And first aid is mandatory. The BAC is mandatory. Defensive tactics is mandatory. EVOC is mandatory, firearms is mandatory. So there's a whole list of mandated stuff that isn't even here.
So are you saying all that is required to get the basic certification?
Well, yeah, but go to the academy.
When
you graduate out of the academy, but like what you're saying is, you know, we've got 3 or 4 things listed.
There's a lot more than that.
There's more than that.
So does there need to be an additional bullet item that covers additional, qualification requirements as directed by chief of police, or what needs to be mentioned for that coverall, for that.
Are you talking about? Because the way I read it is, you're not going to get your basic certificate unless you've done all that stuff. So are you talking more about what's required by the state, or what the chief, in addition to that, is looking for?
Well, I think it actually needs to address both, because if it's in the job description. Every officer needs to be able to do it, and any new incoming candidate needs to be able to reach those requirements within 12 months' time.
But if it's required by the state, then I would expect that list to exist somewhere else.
And then we need to make reference as dictated by RCW such and such, or CJTC standards such and such.
So okay.
We just need to find out what those are and mention it in ours to
direct them. Sure. Yeah, we can do that. This is all stuff that I copy from other cities, so I'm more than happy to make the changes.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
We just have to be able to go back, and because I from an appeal standpoint, an officer can come to us, well, it's not in the job description, so I don't have to do it.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
But it does say.
Yeah, but, I mean, then there just needs to be that escape valve that says, no, the chief told you to do it, you got to do it. So where's that escape valve clause?
I can tell you this job description that Kate put together with the help of the is covers more areas than the old one. The old one to me was pretty bad. This is much better.
I mean, for the escape valve, that's where I look at page 2, this other duties and responsibilities. The job description should not be considered an all-inclusive list of work requirements. And then, again, at the very end in italics on page 4, while requirements may be representative of minimum levels of knowledge, skills, and abilities, the employee will possess the ability to perform each duty proficiently. In no way implies these are the only duties. Now, what you're saying is not a duty, it's a requirement, something that we're asking for. So, you know, there's a little bit of room there in between, and I agree that we could probably address that fairly easily.
Can I return to your fitness?
Sure.
Quickly. Yeah,
make a comment.
If the system is the same as my recollection, there is no physical testing required for lateral officers. So if fitness is something that this commission is interested in seeing in its police officers, and we're hiring laterals because of the cost-effectiveness of going that route, I might suggest as an agenda item and meeting coming up this year that you talk about a physical requirement or a physical test for laterals as well as for interim. That hit a lot of opposition when it came up a few years ago. But if fitness is an interest, an area of interest, I think that's worth a Civil Service Commission discussion.
You mean laterals now don't have any type of?
They have medical testing, I know.
That's not a
physical. I know that.
I do not believe that they do take the physical.
They don't.
Yeah.
It was quite a bit of blowback when that was recommended the last time, and it was not reinstated. So entry-level officers, at least from my recollection, have that requirement to take a physical test, and laterals don't. And I think that would be an excellent agenda item in the future.
Any other comments?
Well, the purpose of this job description is multiple. It's to present to the public what we're looking for and to allow the public to understand how individuals are going to be qualified. It's for internal purposes so that the chief and the city manager have something to compare an individual to and an understanding. It's for the individual that's actually doing the work to understand the scope of what they're supposed to do, and it'll be on the website and be an initial screen of people that are submitting the application. Did I hit everything?
I think so.
And so that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot, and there are different, you know, for people that want to work here, we want them to apply. We want them to be eager to work here, and for people that are already working here, we want to be fair in what we expect from them. And when the chief hires, and the city manager hires, we want our input as far as what is a qualified individual. So this is a really important document. I sure appreciate all the work that you've done on it, Kate, and everybody else that's worked on it.
I appreciate everyone's help. It is. It's probably one of the most important documents that we have in HR. But your first point about, you know, perspective, I really think that the position profile is going to be so much better than this in terms of enticing people. I mean, job descriptions are not very interesting, so it'd be nice to have something a little more polished.
Did the guild members that reviewed it provide any cover or feedback? Or
yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
Comments?
Mm-hmm.
That they wanted?
Oh, in no. It was more just, you know, a few little words, you know, crossed off or add this, that kind of thing. And I incorporated several of them. And I sent them a copy. I sent them this copy so they know what the final looks like. But I am happy to follow up with CJTC, follow up with our attorney on the questions that were raised here. So just to recap about whether or not a degree can be required, if veterans' preference points are the only points you can give, ask for clarification on the statement about fitness for duty, and then the certification referring back to CJTC.
Well, and one of the things, this job description might be organized differently because as we're just kind of going back and forth. Physical abilities are in a number of different places, and so we might be able to organize this in a more clear and cogent way.
Is this the format that all of the city's job descriptions are organized?
Yes.
The
standard template. Where are you seeing physical? Oh, I see physically restrain people under the ability to. Yeah.
Yeah, ability to and physical requirements and...
I'm going to take that bullet out because it's kind of mentioned already here. Physical agility and ability to maintain stamina, ability to carry, drag, or restrain individuals. So I think that's probably duplicative. I could take that out there. I've looked at this so many times and I'm not seeing things anymore.
Yes, I get pretty tired working on the same
job. So after you get clarification on the questions and you make those edits, if you could circulate the before and after.
Yes, I definitely will.
Look at it and discuss it one more time.
And also, since we're so close to Matt being here, I may just wait before finally finalizing it, just so he can review it as well. Probably. I don't know if he'll be interested in that, but just it seems like a courtesy.
Absolutely.
So. All right. Okay. Next up are the lists, the usual. So I've given you the updated eligibility list. That's the landscape page. So if you look at the entry-level list, we have had, let's see, when did we meet last? April. Okay. What has changed on this list are we are back to having the top three names are back in the list, in the ranking, because what happened... with those three, they were, or the top four, I should notice three, sorry, one, two, and three. They were certified to the chief in January, and that was a certification of 90 days.
Right.
So when there's a vacancy, the chief requests the top three names. I certify them to him for 90 days. So nothing happened with those people in those 90 days, so they went back into the list. Obviously, if we had interviewed new people in that period of time, then there could have been some reshuffling, but since nothing's really happened, they just go back to their same spot. And since we're not making any hiring decisions at this point until Matt gets here, I have not recertified anybody. You've not asked me for them, and I have not sent them to you. So that's all that's changed on here. We have two people that will be expiring in July, and then we have a few more later on this year. So we will cross that bridge when we get to it in terms of the new test.
Didn't we add some from,
we're looking at the other sheet. We're looking at that one. This one.
There you go.
You've got too much paper.
I know.
You should have had this first.
I apologize. So the entry level. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that's changed is those three now are back in the ranking. So, and then on the lateral side, nothing has changed. Except for, sorry, I take it back, the same thing. That person had been certified in November, and the rules were changed in December, right? So his 90 days, technically, at that point, he would have been certified for 6 months, so. Yeah. But he's still, the only person on the list, so that doesn't really apply. So, that's that. And then the other document I gave you, which is the portrait list of the scores. We've only had, 6 or 7 people test since the last meeting on the entry-level side and none on the lateral side. No new. What I did here, just to save paper, I just stuck the laterals on the bottom there. One of our previous entry-level applicants who took the old test, took the new test. So far, that's the only I've only seen one of those names that we offered to pay for the test fee.
Are they due?
Mm-hmm.
More in the middle?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay, so that's it on those. The appeal of the lateral candidate. I sent you all the findings.
Right.
That was I was drafted by the attorney, so I will not take credit for that. And really, just I don't really have anything else to say about it. But I wondered if anybody had any questions. Are you okay to approve it?
I am. I looked it over. I didn't have any concerns. I thought it was very very well written and thought out. It is a unanimous decision, so we may wait, and when we're all here with mm-hmm. Bruce as well, because he was part of that unanimous decision as well, we can certainly sign off on it.
Yeah. I asked about that because I was concerned that because he wasn't going to be here, and she said, since he's already voted, it's okay if we just write absent on his name and rather than wait until.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know. Do we need to approve it or?
Everybody's reviewed it and is comfortable with it?
Yes. Yep. We should probably have a motion to review or to approve it. And I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And that will be sent to him?
Yes. I will. So if we could just pass that around, I guess, and sign it.
There's a place for a date?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next thing on my report is...
Kate, I'm sorry, but what can the public know about the outcome of the appeal?
There was a vote in the meeting after the executive session last time, and the appeal was dismissed. I just checked the minutes. The exact language was move to affirm the removal of the applicant from the eligible register and to dismiss the appeal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so item D, which Rob mentioned earlier, the request for reinstatement, I forwarded you two documents. One is the written request from the previous employee who indicates that he would like to return to the city. And then that was accompanied by, per Rule 9.2.2, a written recommendation by the chief, which I'm not sure there's any more you need to say about. It's pretty much all lined up here, and you mentioned that the last meeting you spoke to several people who worked with this individual and there were no issues. So, and the person understands, I've spoken with him, that this is not an offer of employment.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about putting him back on the register for consideration. So, having said all that, we probably will postpone this till the next meeting because we don't have a quorum to vote on it tonight. Rob is going to recuse himself
because
on the interview panel, I should say. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring this up to the next meeting.
Alrighty.
One more thing I have on my list. I mentioned this to Rob earlier, so I wanted to let everybody know about this. I was made aware a few weeks ago that we had a reserve officer who had been working in what capacity, I'm unclear at this point. I'm not sure. I think it was a few hours, so I'm unclear on the details at this point, but we're looking into this because I am not sure if he was working as in the special event arena, sort of, you know, if there was an actual after-hours event or if it was during the workday. I'm not sure of the details, so I'm looking into that. Actually, another member of the HR team is looking into that with a couple people in the department. They're working on getting some information on that, so I will come back to publicly with a little more information on that, but I just wanted you to know that that's something that I'm aware of. That's it, I believe, for me. Okay.
Proposed changes to Civil Service Commissioner vacancy appointment process.
Mm-hmm.
Came up last month, and I know that council and city manager have been in discussions on changing that. I didn't listen in on Wednesday's requirement. Has there been any action of council on that?
No.
Okay. So my understanding is that the proposed change would move the Civil Service Commissioner vacancy appointment to the city manager,
mm-hmm.
the current proposal. And my understanding is that we may have an opinion on it, but it is the decision of the city manager and the council to make that process. I appreciate that the public board council may be concerned of our opinion on doing that, so we just want to have a little discussion about it. Well, start a thought. we'll kind of just go around, and I know Kim has some comments as well.
We were all anxious to get a seat filled, and
still
are. And when I when it was first said, I remember in the discussion that well, there's an ordinance that's prepared, and the council is just going to pass an ordinance and just delegate the whole thing to the city manager. And I think I asked that, and at the time I think I said something was subject to their confirmation or something. Nope. I thought that was a little flag went up. Since then, I've looked at it and I've had some discussions with others. And my, I guess legally, I don't think there's an issue with it. I still, when I looked at the actual existing language and why they kind of took the strikeout and put it through, subject to it's not confirmation, it's another word, I don't have it here in front of me, approval or If I were on the council, I would think it would be better policy wise to retain delegate to the city manager the job of going and finding the person and have the city manager come and say, this is who I'm recommending you know, this is who I think would be good, and then you just have in one evening session the council approve that appointment. That's what I would do, but if they want to do short circuit it even further, then that's their prerogative, and I don't feel that strongly about it.
Well, I believe that if the council chooses to delegate this to the city manager and they're not happy with that, that they can withdraw that delegation. And so I'm all for efficiencies. One of the things that the council needs to approve, then they need to do their due diligence, you know? And that can be time consuming as well. And so things can be political when council does them. They can be political when the city manager does them. I think that we're pretty astute here, and if we get somebody appointed to the commission that seems to have a bias or a prejudice or doesn't work well as a team, I have absolutely no doubt that we as commissioners will do whatever we need to do to change that. And so that's my two cents.
I guess I'd like to talk about two things in relation to this agenda item, and first is the process, and then is the substance. And then in terms of process, I'd just like to say publicly that it makes me very uncomfortable that the council was told that the Civil Service Commission had a conversation about this item and gave it their approval, and neither of those things really occurred. I'm sure there's a very innocent explanation about why that description of CSC activity occurred. I have made plenty of misunderstandings and misrepresentations unintentionally in my life. I just want to say for the record that it bothers me that something was said that doesn't comport with what actually happened in the commission, and it especially bothers me because, as I said before, we're at a time in island history where attention to policing is at a high level, and we're at a time in our history where it's really important to build trust in our institutions relating to police. And anything that happens that's even a little bit fudgy makes me nervous, because this is a time we should be doing everything not only above the board but in the most accurate way possible. So again, I'm sure there's an innocent explanation, but it would be nice for me or other members of the public to see that the commission was interested about why the process didn't work, why there was a statement on a council agenda bill saying that the commission approved this change while that never happened. I would like to see the commission figure out why that misrepresentation occurred. And then in terms of substance, you already know my opinion from passing out this sheet, that I think that the ideal purpose of this commission should be not just to hear and determine appeals and complaints, that's our current wording, but rather a proposed purpose that I'm more enthusiastic about, would say that the Civil Service Commission provides members of the classified service with a fair and impartial forum to appeal disciplinary decisions. So my fear and my interest in this agenda item is by giving the appointment power to the city manager, true or not, it furthers the perception of the Guild that this is a body, right, that has more of a managerial inclination than a Guild inclination. And again, we're talking about the difference between perception and reality, and sometimes that's not. So I personally oppose this change, not because I don't like efficiency, like Linda, I do, not because I'm afraid of this particular city manager. In my dealings with him, I found him to be extremely careful and somebody that I trust, but I think it gives the perception to the Guild and to officers, when you give the manager the power to appoint commissioners, that this is a board that has a management bias, and this should be seen as a bias-free appeals board. So I very much respect William's recommendation that there's a process where the city manager might make an appointment and the council approves. The model that I'd like to suggest as an alternative is more of a hybrid. Have an appointing board that has one member of the classified service, one member from city council, city manager or the city manager's representative, and have that three-member panel make the appointment. And just the act of going to that trouble of forming that body might send a very strong signal to the Guild and to the community at large that this is an independent commission and you take your independence very seriously. So concluding comments, I too think this would be an entirely legal change. Right? The language here is it's pretty wiggly, and I think the city manager would be fully within his legal rights to make this proposal and council to vote for it, but just because something is legal doesn't mean it's the best way to go. Once again, I'm urging y'all to be a little more aspirational and set the sights higher than just what's legally permissible.
Are you speaking for the Guild?
Oh, goodness, no. I'm speaking for a neutral and independent civil service commission.
Okay.
That's always been my interest.
Because you said that you didn't think the Guild would be comfortable with this change.
Well, I base that opinion on the Guild's opposition, no offense intended, to the current structure of how your secretary is appointed. And the Guild's opposition to giving the appointment power of the secretary is something that they said very publicly. So I'm assuming that because they opposed that change of appointment power, they would also oppose a change. But no, I'm not speaking for anybody from the Guild.
Okay, thank you for that.
I think I'm in line with William's thoughts of preserving an oversight authority that, for efficiency's sake, if the city manager is able to make these appointments with a final swearing in of on the part of the council, I think can do something to allay some of those concerns that a city manager could stock this body with his or her own people with some long-term agenda. I have difficulty thinking that there's a thought that we could, just knowing how the business that we've been and how we've conducted ourselves in the last year, that I think we've been very impartial and open as a body. I think three or four of us, speaking for Bruce, are that independence has always been in the uppermost of our minds. Could that change over the course of 5 years of one at a time replacing us with somebody? It could happen. But I think the real check and balance to that is interested citizens coming to the meeting and voicing their opinion, more so than even the council's ability to override something that the city manager may say. The continued interest in citizens coming to our meetings, voicing opinions on policing matters, I think will do more for keeping ourselves and any future commissioner in line with what the community feels we should be doing and what purposes we should be pursuing. So I would continue to have an open dialogue with the public and doing all we can to make sure that we are open and impartial and fair forum for anybody that wants to come to speak before us.
Is there any need or desire to communicate that to the council, your thoughts? Otherwise, I'm not sure how that will be passed on to them.
Well, either they can turn this on and listen to us, mm-hmm. or they can ignore us.
Okay.
And I I think what I saw was that whatever agenda this first, maybe first reading or something came up, mm-hmm. they said, well, let's not move on this. Let's let the commission talk it out a little mm-hmm. bit. Let's, you know, hear from them. So here we are talking about
mm-hmm.
it. If they're interested, as they indicated, they might very well be, then perhaps maybe listening in, or maybe they'll be some input. This independence, which I firmly believe in, I also don't want to get into so much of the political realm where we are appearing for the, this is me personally, any one of us are free to attend on their own commission meeting and say, I urge you not to accept that. Change it this way or that way, or here's a substitute ordinance you should consider instead. But sitting as a commissioner, I don't really feel I'm happy to share my thoughts here as a commissioner, but I don't have an advantage. At least not with this issue. I don't feel that strongly about it. That there could be other issues. I would disclaimer. There could be other issues where I would be willing to go and voice my feelings.
The previous language stated that you made a recommendation for the change. Maybe what comes out of this discussion is a clear statement that you do not make a recommendation for any change, one way or the other. But that's what you're expressing now.
Well, I think that, you know, what my thoughts are is that isn't this the sixth meeting that we have lacked a member?
More than that.
And so I really am a very firm believer in process, and with five members, I think that we're going to be fine. I don't care who's in that fifth seat. You know, we're all well-intended, and if somebody is appointed for whatever reason, might be nefarious, I think that we're going to be able to still move forward. And so I think that it's really important for the city manager to be as efficient as possible, and I think that council has really important things that they need to be paying attention to. So my thinking is that whatever council and the city manager decide to do in order to get our fifth member appointed, I'm fine with. So.
I don't personally feel an overwhelming need to draft a letter to city manager or council of our opinion. I think I'm comfortable with whether the appointment's made by the city manager or council or a hybrid of that, putting a fifth member on this body, we can work with him or her in the future to ensure we're fulfilling our requirements and our any proposed purpose on that.
So I'll just quickly mention that the ad will be running next week for the vacancy, call for participation for that and a number of other groups, as I mentioned earlier.
Item number 8, police chief exemption from civil service.
Yeah, this came about while we were working on the contract for the chief, and our interim city attorney was reviewing the draft contract, and he made the point that our municipal code does not specifically exempt the police chief from civil service. And so he felt that is something that we should address. So he's drafted an ordinance that is going to be, I think it's next week at the council meeting. So again, it hasn't been provided to the council yet, so that's why I don't have it for you here, but I can certainly email it to you. That is how it has been in practice.
That's always assumed.
Right. And the statute states that, you know, you sort of have this one-time opportunity to exempt the certain number of positions. And so we've pretty much done that already with the chief, the commander, and the administrative secretary. Those are the three positions that are exempt. So this is just going to codify that action that is already in place.
And there was no, either from Sophia or city managers, no adjustments to our rules, even though it's already in there.
Correct.
This is just really cleaning up the
code.
Statute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's literally it on that.
Item number 9, potential rules amendments. This is really kind of subcommittee work for William and Bruce, because a couple things came up with Sophia. Lessons learned from the appeal, that she made mention of a couple items that in her review of how the appeal went and reviewing our code or our rules, that we may need to do some additional cleanup. And that's what it is. And I would just like to, if you and Bruce, when you
I volunteer.
And maybe just work with Sophia and Kate.
Mm-hmm. Happy to do that.
On seeing what needs to be adjusted.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else? Was that just the lessons learned from the appeal? Was there any other rules that we need to look at?
Not that I can remember.
Well, knowing Bruce, you'll find.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, and also the rule that I was citing to when I indicated that the person was removed from, you know, from the list. I forget what it is, but we decided, because it was, if you want to appeal the decision of the secretary, and obviously when someone is removed, that is not me, so that's related to that.
All right, that's it. The vacation dates, I know summer's coming up, Bruce is gone now, I actually leave tomorrow for 2 weeks, so.
All right.
But you can be...
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Good thing.
I'll
be back for the next meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to
I'll get back on May 23rd, but I was wondering if we could all come back in June. I can definitely make the June meeting. And looking out, if you could circulate all of our, the rest of our meetings.
The calendar.
From now, just so we know. I think we know those, but let's just get them in one email.
Yep.
Everybody comes back and see if we can, if we will have a quorum to do work the rest of the year. And if we need to make any special meetings in September or something, then we can start making those plans ahead of time so we can accommodate folks.
I wish I had.
I do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, that finishes up that. Do we want to set some agenda items for next month?
Yeah, let's see.
I have to go to another.
Absolutely.
Would that be okay if I'd be excused?
You're excused.
Thank you,
Larry. Probably his last meeting.
I just would like to say I'd really enjoy working with you.
Thank you very much.
Down in Olympia.
Is this your last meeting?
Yeah,
yes. Since you, I'm sure.
Oh, I would. Yeah, we got to meet.
I know.
This is wonderful.
Well, I appreciate working.
I would have had flowers for you here. I didn't even think of that.
You had a good idea on that.
Yeah, that's a good catch. That's a good catch.
But I have enjoyed working with all of you. And
hell yeah.
Great.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Let's see. So next time.
Well, Larry just mentioned before he used those critical thing, and I think he's referring to lateral possession. That issue that boiled over.
Right. I've got two stars by it. Physical fitness requirements for lateral.
Yes, I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised at that. That didn't pop out for me.
It also ties into a prior discussion that we had on considering not requiring lateral candidates to take even the written test.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I don't agree with that one either.
Which was our policy for about 50 years.
So I think we've got a few different lateral screening candidates.
Well, you know, it's better to take it up, I think.
Yeah.
I think probably better to take it up now when we're not in a hurry to hire a lateral, rather than when you have someone out there. And now I don't know what the guild would necessarily feel about that.
May I interject with some history?
Well, sure. I don't know anything about it.
My recollection of those debates was that it engendered very strong guild opposition.
Uh-huh. Even though it's folks that are outside the
wanting in, right?
And I'm blushing because I'm saying this on tape, but I think there's some self-interested.
Well,
right. And this was not stated. This was my my recollection that if you started taking physical requirements more seriously for laterals, that might extend to people that are already into the department.
Yeah, right.
So I think it has to do with a culture shift and an interest that this commission shows across the board for a higher level of hire.
So we can have as one of our additional items, other than our standing ones, a discussion of make it just general lateral requirements, and we can talk about physical fitness requirements. We can retouch on the written exam consideration. But I think we're not going to decide anything. It won't be a decision point. I think it'll just be a discussion, and then we can create a subcommittee or something to go off and do a little bit more.
My only comment is that this will be the chief's
first meeting,
fourth day of in his job.
Sink or swim.
I know. So I'm sure, you know, it, for him to be engaged in the conversation and to be, you know, able to feel like he can contribute.
Well, I think it would be an interesting discussion coming from Indianapolis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us your background on dealing with lateral recruitment in your department.
What?
And that can add to the conversation as well.
No, what I was going to suggest was just it'd be great if we could, you know, our limbo list, as we called it, it'd be great if we could consider maybe here are some of the things that we are talking about and looking at addressing this year. So maybe just sort of going through, and this would be one thing on the list. So some detail, but not a real full-on detailed discussion. This is just my opinion. I really have no say, but I'm just thinking it'd be great to sort of give him an orientation of what we've done and what we are looking to do. By we, I mean you, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I also think we'd like the city manager to, I mean, I mentioned that to you on the phone, the city manager would like to attend.
So we can replace then, instead of report by chief of police, we could do a report to the chief of police. This is who we are, this is what we do, and we could lay out that limbo list of considered items and see if he has a feeling on action items that he would like to help us address in the coming months.
Well, and I'd like to hear some thoughts from the guild, too.
Right.
And I know that you, Kim, have history with this and experience with the guild, but very uncomfortable with you saying the guild, the guild.
I agree. They should be.
Well, yes, and I don't, if there's any guild members listening, because they have their own concerns, their own political agenda, and we want to hear what they are. We don't want it to slip anything past them. They need to be at the table, and so whatever outreach you do, just kind of underscore that a little bit.
Yeah, I can do that. The other thing is I can certainly prep him in advance to say, okay, the meeting's on Thursday, this is what, you know, is on the agenda, but if you want to maybe be prepared to sort of give an introduction to your background and your experience with the commission, if any, or how it works in Indiana.
Does everybody have civil service commission?
I think so, but I don't know how they might be different.
I mean, it'd be interesting, because the force that he's from, if I'm remembering it correctly, 1700?
So maybe sort of a deviation from our standard meeting, a little bit of a...
We learn about him and teach him about us and look at the future and what we can work together.
Prioritize. But I'll still bring the list.
Or you should share the list with him.
I think we should do something for Larry, too. Larry's been such a wonderful interim police chief. What power do we have to do a thank you letter? You know, just if everybody would be amenable to that, because he's had a difficult job and I think handled it with a lot of grace. So.
He should be here. I believe they're going to overlap for 5 days or so. So he might still be here. I don't know if he'll come to the meeting, but I could bring a card
letter
or something.
Yeah. I would appreciate that. I didn't even think about today just being his last meeting. I would have done that.
I didn't either until we walked in.
So we shook our heads and said, well, Scott.
Any other agenda items that you want to touch on?
I don't know if, I think that Kim with her mission statement, I think that's an interesting thing to contemplate, and so maybe we can all put that in the back of our minds.
Update of purpose statement. And
yeah. Again, that's an interesting area because I'm not really sure if that's the council's responsibility to decide what your scope is. It's not. That's kind of my understanding based on what's happening next week, but I could be wrong.
But Kim, this was on the commission's webpage.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anybody would have a problem with making change. You know, I made a suggested change to it.
Right.
You know, what do I know? So I can certainly clarify that.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
Put it on the agenda. We can talk about it. We can tweak it. We can whatever, and then say this is what we'd like to put up.
Yeah.
Do this one.
Actually, one of the things that would be really interesting to do. And it's actually kind of curious that, you know, we don't have more interaction with council. You know, there's no liaison that, you know, and maybe that's because we are to have our independence. But some of this would be worthwhile just to kind of get a sense of if council, if this is something that they're thinking about or if they wanted to have any direction. I mean, there's so many different ways this can all move forward.
All right, we stand adjourned.
Okay.